today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And he has died for us on the cross. He took all of our garbage upon him before we even knew it. It was already there for us, a love that will never let us go. Amazing, staggering. So therefore, one day we'll unpack all the truth behind the promise of the rainbow, because the ark there is like the body of Jesus Christ on that cross.
The truth is, each rainbow is God's message of love for you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Mountain of Covenant, about God's promises through a rainbow and a cross. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Covenant.
Ladies and gentlemen, our faith is based on fact. We need to understand that. If I wake up in the morning and I'm depressed and down, I'd say, oh, maybe Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That doesn't change the fact of that historical truth. The fact of the gospel, we're in Christ, we're in Christ. We are new people, brand new. That is a fact. And we rest our faith on that fact. Remember? It's our faith is rest on that fact. 1 + 1 = 2. Not going too fast for anybody. We have faith that 1 + 1 = 2, and that's part of what we believe about the foundational principles of mathematics. 1 + 1 = 2. We put our faith on that absolute fact. Now, you can play with 1 + 1 and get in quantum physics and do all kinds of gymnastics and physics, but still, basically, we accept that fact and we put our faith on it. And then if there's any emotion to something, it follows along after faith and fact. And we talked about when faith looks at feelings. Well, I don't feel, you know, some days, you know, I tell you, by the time I speak all day Sunday, I don't believe in God till about 10 o'clock Monday morning. I'm being humorous. But the point is that you are just emotionally drained sometime and you're not physically well, and you say, my feelings about where is God, and our faith looks at our feelings. We need to look at our fact and say, I am secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let your feelings control your faith, because our faith is resting on fact. So we look in the Bible and we see that there is big time trouble in the world. And then we have this flood, but what went ahead of the flood? What is the first thing that messed us up? Man, Adam and Eve, wanted to run their own life, just like we want to run our own life. And by the way, we were born trying to run our own life. That's original sin. And then we see what happened. They were kicked out of the garden, the fall of man. The plan of redemption was built in. And then you say, generation after generation after generation. Genesis 2, 3, 4, 5. What do you have there? Let me just summarize it in a pedestrian way. What you have there is birth, life, marriage, children, grandchildren, death. Birth, life, marriage, children, grandchildren, death, birth, life. You have over and over and over again, generation after generation after generation, until you wake up one day prior to the understanding and the introduction of Noah, and the world is in a mess. I promised you I'd let you guys in on this. I'm not doing away with fact. I'm not discouraged with faith. And feelings usually follow along. Make no mistake about it. Welcome. So the whole world was messed up. The Genesis, Moses tells us clearly right here what was going on. Look at Genesis chapter number 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw, listen carefully, that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And that, listen, every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. In other words, all of mankind, 24/7, evil was on their heart. The whole world. Generation after generation after generation, birth, life, marriage, children, grandchildren, death, birth, life, marriage, children, grandchildren, death. And now evil is on the heart of everybody and everywhere. How did this happen? Genesis tells us, I'm going to say it simply. Seth, people, married Cain, people. That's it. I said, boy, what in the world is that? Seth, people, represent the lineage of God-fearing people. Cain represents the lineage of godless, fleshly, secular people. And what happened was, through all of these series of generations, Seth people, God-fearing people, marrying secular, non-God-fearing people, and it went on for generation after generation. By the way, you call this compromise. And they ended up until the whole world was decadent, was evil, had no hope, no future. Boy, that's really something, isn't it? I would guess that half the people here, 30 and over, who've been married, have been divorced. Half. That's just the way it is. And I would tell you that the cause, many causes of divorce, basically goes back to the same cause that happened there in Genesis right from the beginning, the early stage of humanity. Seth people married Cain people. God-fearing folks married secular folks, and they had children, and it was watered down, the faith, and they had children. Oh, a few turning to God, and they had children, until finally in time, the whole world was lost and decadent and evil. What's wrong with America? Any thoughtful analogy will tell you it is the destruction of marriage and the family. And it comes from, as everyone here can witness who've been through the horrific experience of divorce, as I have close and deep in my own family, will tell you it's basically Seth person marrying a Cana person. Now you say, well, you know, he's a Christian. He's a member of the church. He's good. He's going to be fine. You know, he prays when we sit down and have a meal together. I mean, I think he's just a good Christian boy. But there was no real evidence of worship and obedience to God in Christ. And therefore, you have an unequal yoke. That's the way it is. That's where we are. And that kept on, that compromise, compromise, compromise. Well, she'll come along, he'll come along, compromise, compromise, until finally the diagnosis was clear, made by God Almighty, saying there's no hope, there's no future. People get upset at God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, what a mean, vengeful God. Let me tell you something. God was showing mercy and grace on Sodom and Gomorrah, on the unborn generations. Because to be brought in that kind of decadent, immoral climate, a child would not have a chance to have a life that would be pleasing to God, or a life that was worthy. That was God's grace in that judgment. And it was God's grace right here, because the people on the earth, even it flowed to all the animals, all the creation was fallen, and there was no hope. Now, we have five facts. I want us to look at them as quick as zigzag lightning. That's pretty fast. First, Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generation of Noah. And Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. I hear a lot of people on television say, well, I found favor with God. It sounds like they've rolled the die, and God has said, oh, I'm going to show partiality to that one. No, that's not the way it worked. God shows favor to everybody who walks with him. That's the requirement. It's not capricious. It's those who walk with God. And this verse says something about Noah. Guess what? Noah walked with God. Somebody said, boy, being a Christian is sure a tough thing. I'm telling you, there's so much to understand. It's so complicated. Man, I don't know all the Bible. Listen, it's very simple. Walk with God. That's it. Walk with God. Receive Christ. Seek his leadership. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we get our wings. We just seek to walk with him. And we may get some hinds feet along the way so we can ascend and go in places that he wants us to go. But just walk with God. Noah didn't have an IQ of 180. Noah wasn't 6'8". Handsome, muscular. He didn't have a big, strong voice of leadership. He wasn't necessarily ambitious. When God was going to destroy the world, he didn't say, oh, God, man, let me be the remnant. Just keep me and my family. Oh, no. Noah just walked with God. That's all it is, folks. It's in view of everybody. It's very flat there. Just walk with God. He's a farmer. Maybe did a little carpentry work, I don't know. Had this midlife crisis after living about 500 years. And God says something special to Noah, but first of all, the qualification was he just walked with God. That's all we have to do. Not to worry about big, little, small, important, prestigious, rich, poor. It doesn't matter what I do. It's just walk with God. That's all Noah did. You know, that'd be a good TV thing. Winning walk, I mean. Noah had a winning walk. First fact, Noah walked with God. Second fact, mind you now, there's not a lot of feeling here. It's just bang, bang, bang. Here are the facts. Here's the second fact. Then God, verse 13, said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark. Noah built an ark. Noah built a boat. He walked with God. The fact was that God said, build a boat. And Noah said, right on, I'll build a boat. And God gave him, if you read it, very carefully, specific instructions for building a boat. He said, I want you to build this boat 450 feet long. That's about a football field and a half. I want you to build it 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Build a boat. Noah started to build a boat. Do you know how long it took him to build the ark? 120 years. And can you imagine he was building that ark hundreds of miles from any large body of water? What his neighbors were saying, Noah, what in the world are you doing? I'm building a boat. My boat this big. My glory, what a boat. We'd have no place to sail that boat. He said, we'll have a flood because God's going to judge all the wickedness that's in the lives of people. And, oh, my goodness. God, yeah, that's, you're just crazy. You're a fundamentalist. No, God told me to build a boat. That's all I know. He told me the size to build it. And can you imagine all these years? Noah, his wife, three sons, their wives, people looking and says, there's that crazy Noah build that big old boat. He says, we're going to have a flood. It's going to reach us way over here. The water, nah, no way. And they just laughed at him. But what that boat was, that boat was a living sermon, wasn't it? It was reminding everybody, here was Noah, who was a righteous man who had a righteous family. And that was a witness to all of those who were living those decadent, ungodly life. Ladies and gentlemen, your life or my life can be that same kind of witness in this broken world. That boat was a physical witness to everybody who looked at it. Can't you imagine? You'd go visit and say, you got to go see my neighbor's boat. Football field and a half long. Went on for 120 years. No built boat. Fact. Second fact, Noah got in the boat. Once again, instructed by God. Excuse me, third fact. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone have seen to be righteous before me at this time. And so Noah got in with all the animals. By the way, you say, well, that's impossible. No, no, no. They've calculated you could put 50,000 smaller animals in that ark by that dimension. By the way, it's pretty close to the dimension of one of these big, big liners that many of you go on and take cruises on. I don't do that. I get seasick taking a bath. But many of you have done that. That's sort of the dimensions. I mean, they put thousands on. So there you see it. And so they entered the boat. And then how long do you think they were out there on the water? First of all, they went in for 7 days before it rained. That was a good one. God said, get in the boat, grab a flood. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No rain, Thursday, Friday, and most people believe the world had never seen rain. They'd seen mist and no rain. And finally, can't you see his son saying, hey, Dad, we don't want to stay in a boat with all these animals in here. It's already getting pretty tough. Are you sure? Yeah, God says, get in the boat. Fact. He put his faith on the fact of what God had said. Very simple. And then the seventh day, a little sprinkling. For long, there was a deluge. There was a flood. A flood. A once in the history of the world flood. And it flooded everything. And it flooded over the highest of mountains. And a year and 17 days, they were at sea in that box-like coffin with all the animals. And with that one family, which was a godly remnant that was left alive. Boy, can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine the emotions involved? Until they said, you know, maybe God's forgotten us, but you got a great little verse in here that I'd really love. It's found over in the 8th chapter, verse 1. But God remembered Noah. Lord, I'm glad you remember it. I thought you'd forgotten me. Everything's dead. Everything's destroyed. The whole world is flooded. We've been bouncing around here. By the way, the word remember there in Hebrew, it doesn't mean to recall. The word remember here means to renew. God was renewing the world, as we're going to discover. To renew. Fresh new beginning. A new start. A clean slate. everything wiped out, everything now just bright and clean and sparkling and pure. Think about it. It's the Garden of Eden too, in one sense. And then we see the other fourth fact about Noah. And God spoke to Noah saying, go out of the ark and your wife and your sons and with you. And so they, now finally they have stopped. They sent out the raven and the doves. And now the boat is stopped. And now they get out of the ark. What do you think the first thing Jonah did? Now mind you, whole new world. Did I say Jonah? I'm getting Jonah and Noah. Both of them had a problem in the ocean. That's all I know. Man, after three times, they're almost interchangeable. So Noah and his family get out of the big boat. And now the whole world is brand new. New creation, new life. The animals go out, their natural habitat. And boy, it's a whole new beginning. And by the way, you read it carefully, it's almost like the Garden of Eden too, but not really. Things have changed. Capital punishment is introduced for murder, which is still valid today, by the way. And the relationship between man and animals and all of this moves on. But what is the first thing Noah did? You know what he did? Built an altar. Came out of the ark, built an altar. It's the first altar that's built in all the Bible, right there. And he worshiped. You see, God remembered Noah, and then Noah remembered God. Isn't that beautiful? He built an altar. And what's the next thing he did? And by the way, this is a question that's not asked, but it is asked because it's an answer. Noah said, what am I going to do with the ark? Do I need to keep it? It's a pretty big old guy. Much, much bigger than this room, by the way. What am I going to do about the ark, said Noah. God said, you're not going to need it. Nobody's ever going to need it. And now we have the fifth thing involving Noah. And that is a covenant is made. This is the fifth fact I want us to see very, very clearly here. It says, verse 13, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. A covenant is established now with Noah. God says, here it is. If you're a part of it, except with Noah's covenant, and he makes it is a unilateral covenant. He says, this I will do with all humanity. You don't have to worry about me destroying the world again. The world may be destroyed, but man will do it. God will not do it. And we look in the sky, we see that bow, that rainbow up there. And by the way, you notice something very interesting here. When you look at the sky, it doesn't remind us of that covenant. The Bible says, read it carefully. I read it over. It says, God remembers. Isn't that something? So we look and see the rainbow. We say, God remembers this covenant that he has placed over you and over all humanity. And then we look up and we say, now we remember that we are secure and we're under this covenant of the rainbow. Let me show you something. The cross of Jesus Christ is the new rainbow. See, it's the new promise. It is the new covenant in which we confess and we receive, and we know that God so loved us in Christ, he initiated that love. Let me tell you how much he loves us. While you and I were still living in garbage, he died for us. The one who is just became the justifier. The one who knew no sin took all of our sin upon him. And he makes that promise to us. Because he lives, we too shall live. And we pick up a lot of nonsense that we attribute to the Bible. We say, God will always meet you halfway. Would you show me that scripture? You see, a lot of things, God is already there with his love before we ever get there. See, love is risky. God took that risk when his son entered this world. What a great risk of love. You tell somebody you love them. First time I remember, Jo Beth and I on a date. We dated a while. She got in the car, and I didn't pull away from her house, and I said, Joby, I don't like you anymore. And she looked at me, and she said, I said, I love you. That's a great risk. That's a big risk, isn't it, guys? You don't know. You can't tell. But that's what God has done. God has taken that risk, and he has died for us on the cross. He took all of our garbage upon him before we even knew it. It was already there for us, a love that will never let us go. Amazing. Staggering. So therefore, one day we'll unpack all the truth behind the promise of the rainbow, because the ark there is like the body of Jesus Christ on that cross. And in Revelation, it tells us that around the throne of God Almighty and Jesus Christ, there is a complete bow, a complete rainbow. Rainbow is beautiful. It reminds us of the beauty of God we have in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Young, thanks for taking an extra moment here in the studio with us today. Can I ask, how can listeners take a tip from Noah and be righteous believers who have a winning walk with God?
Noah heard from God. God told him to build that big boat. And he followed through years constructing the ark. And so in our lives, God speaks through his word, through preaching, through individuals. And sometimes it takes years for all of those principles to be lived out in you and in me. God spoke to Noah and says, build a boat, build the ark. He speaks to us and says, fill in the blank. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. Guess what? He'll direct your path. That's it.
Well, could you explain the connection between the covenant God made with the rainbow and the new covenant made on the cross?
The covenant God made with the rainbow simply said that I will not destroy the world again by a flood. And that was a promise he gave to the people who had just endured the end of the earth, as far as it was known, except for faithful Noah and his family. I think this is also applicable to us in Christ. When life leaves us and our lives are overflooded with sorrow and sickness, and which leads to death, because all of us will die, it is the cross of Jesus Christ is... We could see it. We wrap it around our necks. We can see it in pictures and images. It is on that cross that we know God came and died for us in our place so that we might live forever. And the promise is very clear. The rainbow, the world will not be destroyed by flood. The cross, anyone can come there, and they'll not be destroyed because of their sin. Jesus took all your garbage, died on the cross for you, died on the cross for me, and therefore the cross is that permanent symbol that we look at and that we see that tells us, hey, you're safe here and you're safe forever.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Young, for your message today. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.